I'm Lorcan Malone, Chief Executive of the Analytics Institute of Ireland, and you're very welcome to our podcast series, Data Leaders. In these podcasts, I chat with some of the most important and influential people in the data analytics area in Ireland, and I try to find out a little bit about the people and personalities behind the careers. I also want to explore their philosophy in relation to data and analytics in general, and also find out a little bit about where they think the industry is going in the future. I hope you enjoy this series of interviews, and if you do, please subscribe below. Thank you. So hello, everybody, and welcome again to our podcast, Data Leaders in Conversation. My name is Lorcan Malone. I'm the founder and CEO of the Analytics Institute, and I'm joined today by a really interesting organization established by two very strong women data leaders, which I'm delighted about. Michelle McDonough, who's CEO of Intelligent Enterprises, and Kiva Darcy, who's the CTO. So you're very welcome to the podcast, ladies.
Thank you, Lorcan.
So maybe we could start. You could tell me a little bit about Intelligent Enterprises. I know you're relatively young company, so perhaps you could tell us a little bit about what you do now and how Intelligent Enterprises came about.
Sure, yep. So as you say, Lorcan, we're a relatively new company. So myself and Cuiva founded Intelligent Enterprises, or IE as we call it, back in 2019. So really just before COVID hit. Great timing on our part to be starting off a company, but what can you do? So we started then, and you know, IE, it's an analytics and EPM advisory consulting and consulting services is what we provide. And we set it up really with a view to helping our clients to solve their business problems by looking at it both from like a business perspective and a technology perspective. So, you know, we look at streamlining their business processes and also leveraging their data to help solve those business problems. But, you know, I guess what we is different for us is we take that technology agnostic approach to it. So both myself and Cuiva throughout our careers, we've seen a lot of organizations being influenced in their technology choices, really based on the technologies that their partners specialize in. So, you know, if you have someone working very closely with an organization that's very aligned to Microsoft and they have a new project they want to do, a lot of the time they're led down a Microsoft path, say, because that's what, you know, that's where their partners specialize. Our mission at IE and our ambition is to become technology agnostic. So really to look at it from a strategic point of view and advise the customers on what best in class should look like for them. So whether that is, say, Microsoft, Oracle, SAP, or maybe it's like some really promising emerging technology that we're seeing in the marketplace.
When you say, and I know a lot of companies talk about this, you know, we'll help companies to solve their problems. What typically are the problems that you're coming across that companies need help with?
So, you know, like we're seeing like a lot of kind of issues with customers, you know, really, you know, that don't really even have at this point an analytics strategy. And, you know, they're looking at ways that maybe their data can solve those problems for them. So, you know, in some cases, it's like, you know, typical kind of reporting, you know, problems that they're still seeing. They're still seeing a lot of it kind of offline and, you know, wanting to bring it into a platform. Others, it's kind of, okay, well, like, what's the volumes of data that, you know, they have and how do they actually manage that? And it kind of depends really on, I suppose, the sector that we're in and that, like, you know, we do quite a bit of work in the finance sector as well. And, you know, we see kind of a good bit of challenges there kind of around their month-end cycles and how quickly they can close that. And that's kind of a really good example of where we go in and look at kind of the different processes, the business processes, as well as the technology there that can help them.
It's such a
an important aspect is that kind of marriage of the business and the technology. So many people lead with the technology. And I always think, well, hold on, there's no need for the technology if there isn't a business issue, you know?
Exactly.
And people jump in and start talking about their technologies with no context. And I'm left cold by that. Sorry,
that's Keith. It, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Keith, I interrupted you.
No, I was just going to say, you know, and sometimes we take a look at the technologies they have, like we find that some of our clients have, you know, several BI tools and no kind of central strategy driving it, you know, can come from the inner departments in it. So sometimes we take a step back and have a look at all their technology offerings. You know, even this week, just myself, I'm working with a client who are about in the infancy of implementing a new dashboarding tool, you know, to sit on some of their finance applications. So I said to them, listen, you know, you do have already existing dashboarding capability in the tool that you're using. You're just not utilizing at the moment. So I said, before we embark and, you know, bringing data over to another tool, just, you know, as part of our advisory service, what I'm doing there is I'm getting our team of consultants, you know, they're going to spin up some dashboards using their own reports, their own data, so they can take a look at it. So in that way as well, you know, it's not always new tech that we're offering, but we're saying, are you maximizing the technology that you already have
and using the investment? Yeah, so this is what we see, is organizations struggling to have a return on investment and in what they invest in the technologies. And often I think it's because they buy the technology first and then worry about what they're going to do with it after.
Exactly.
Or they hire and then decide, what are we going to do with this person? Which is, we come across quite often. Okay, great. So unusual to have two women come together, 50-50, both owning the organization. What led up to the opening of Intelligent Enterprises? And were you both, you obviously both are in the industry, but I'm just interested to see what was the driving force behind you setting up the company?
Well, if Michelle asks you to go out for a drink late one Saturday night, just know she has a strategic plan at the back of her mind. It's probably why we made her CEO.
Very good. And were you working together before this? Were you in an organization and you decided to move out into this?
We both worked for a company called Codec. Right. And we worked for them for 10 years. We actually both started in 2008, I think a month after one another. And, you know, worked together for all those years very closely and really enjoyed it. So, you know, kind of felt it was a good fit for the two of us to set up IE together.
And why not, you know, just join another big consultancy firm or whatever? What was it that attracted to the idea of the life, the very difficult life, I think, sometimes of the self-employed?
Well, I suppose like working for a long time in Codec, and we did a lot of projects together and we had a huge turnover. And, you know, part of it was lessons learned, you know, like when Michelle talks about the technology agnostic and the approach that we took probably sometimes differed from the approach we wanted to take. And I think when we set up our own company, then we had very strong ideas about how we wanted to deliver it. And I think moving into another consultancy and moving into a bigger consultancy, again, you wouldn't really have that drive because, you know, each consultancy firm have their own strategy. And that's one of the things that we really wanted to push. Like, I think Michelle and I both, and probably why we became friends in Codec, is we are quite passionate about data and we kind of let that, you know, drive our choices and our strategy. And I think that's probably where we started to talk about it, i.e. is like all the things that we do different. And it grew from there, I think.
Right. And tell me, what is your typical customer then? Are you working with SMEs? Are you looking at mid-sized companies? Or are you talking to the big organizations?
We work with a lot of big organizations. Right. So, you know, a lot of enterprise customers. We do a lot kind of public sector as well. You know, mid-market. So mid-market enterprise are kind of the two areas that we work in. Like typically, you know, the projects that we're implementing and I guess the size and scale of them are more, you know, at that kind of size customer in terms of kind of, you know, the software that's been implemented and the implementation sizes.
Sure. And I assume one difficulty is always when you're a small company, which you said you have 10 people, and you're trying to sell into or supply into these large organizations, it's just getting yourself known. I mean, how do you go about that at the moment? How do you, have you grown through word of mouth, or have you had, or do you have
started
selling the organization?
So up until now, it's been word of mouth. You know, we both, you know, had clients that we've worked with over the years and, you know, knew from the industry and that, you know, were really good to us actually when we started up BYE, and believed in us as a company and gave us that chance. So we were very lucky in that way. And that did get us through the COVID times as well. And we continue to work with those customers and, you know, we work very closely with them, really in a partnership at the moment to expand out now their kind of analytics and EPM estate. So, you know, it's not just do a project and walk away. Like a lot of those customers, we're still in on a daily basis working with them on, you know, how they can improve and their solutions. But I guess, you know, from myself and Cuiva's perspective, we've been heads down the last few years, really making that a success and making it work. And this year we started to realize, okay, you know, we really need to focus now on, you know, a lot more kind of our marketing and our sales and getting the company known and that. So we have brought on a sales director over the last few months, and she is now working on that side of the business.
Very good. Very interesting. So in my role, I talk to a lot of organizations. Many of the vendor organizations talk about AI, predictive analytics, you know, deep learning, you know, the more advanced stuff. They're always talking about, you know, those technologies. And when you go to EVAR conference in November, there'll be a lot of emphasis on AI. But when I talk to non-vendor companies, the companies that are actually using data, they tend to be still doing the, you know, replacing the Excel spreadsheets, the dashboards, the reporting stuff. Do you find most of your customer organizations are still at that, or are you beginning to see any of these advanced technologies become real and actually working in these organizations?
I think for me and Cuiva, I'm not sure if you agree, but like a lot are still at that stage, you know. I think there's some companies out there that are really leaders in the space and have spent, you know, the last number of years working kind of on their data platforms and really perfecting them. And those organizations are now in a position to start looking at, you know, the really kind of cool technologies they can put on top of that now. But I think the reality of it is, particularly here in Ireland anyway, that when you go in, a lot of them are still at that point of, you know, trying to build out that data platform or trying to figure out what's the best way they're going to take their spreadsheets into a reporting tool.
What are the biggest blockages when you think of organizations like that and you're coming in? What do you find are the biggest blockages or impediments for these organizations to achieve what they're trying to achieve?
So one of the things I've noticed recently is, you know, like we've had a great push in analytics with the move to cloud. So, you know, we don't have the limitations on the technical infrastructure that we've had before. So, you know, in terms of the amount of data we can store and the speed of processing. But what I have found up to this point is that maybe that, you know, the application that you've chosen, you've gone to cloud, you know, you're kind of pushing that one direction. So I think that is kind of, you know, still holding people back. Like if you've got an ERP in Microsoft, you're kind of looking at a Microsoft cloud application. So one of the things that I think that has limited people a little bit is moving on with the great cloud connectors that we're getting at the moment, you know, real-time connectors. So now when you move to cloud, you're not always going to be a Microsoft person. So now you can have an ERP with Microsoft, or you can have an Oracle Financials, and then you can put your data platform on you know, AWS, and they can be separate. And this is just becoming more open to people now, and they have these real-time connectors that you can bring them in. I think one of the limitations Michelle and I have seen is, even though people are moving to clouds, up to this point we're still back at the data extracts, bringing them back to an on-prem server, you know, using ETL to push them up to another cloud. So I think that is one of the limitations that we've seen so far, and yeah, I think that's about to change.
I agree.
What do you think, Michelle?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's really the blocker, you know. So like in the past, Lorcan, everyone's looking at data warehousing, right? But like realistically, if you're looking at kind of a traditional data warehousing program, and a lot of companies will be familiar with this, they're years, like the plans from like, you know, from kind of, you know, pulling out the requirements to actually building them, like they were years long projects. So if people are at the point now where they haven't been doing that, they don't really have that luxury of time to go back and do it. Everything's moving so fast now. It's like, you know, everything is at the tip of our fingers, and there's no one in an organization going to sign off on a project that's probably going to run into the millions, that will deliver them reports that will probably not be relevant in, you know, a year's time. So I think that's the blocker. But I think to Cuiva's point, we are lucky now, you know, in terms of the different cloud technologies we have, like over the last few years, like, you know, it's really opened up a lot more for customers in terms of their ability to do things a lot quicker. So, you know, if you move, you know, like what we want talking to our customers about now is the concept of like a modern data platform. So it's not your typical data warehouse where you're stuck to a much more structured approach and, you know, all of these like timely and costly ETL procedures, but it's kind of starting to leverage all these cloud technologies now to actually build out a much more modern data platform, which, you know, it is all different sources. It's a data lake, and it's, you know, a data warehouse if you have one, or data marts around the organization, and, you know, using a lot more kind of efficient ETL tools that sit with these cloud technologies now to very quickly get that data up onto the cloud. But, you know, I think if you go into a lot of organizations now, those kind of options to them, maybe they're not aware of them yet, you know, they're still thinking of, you know, kind of the more traditional approaches to analytics and reporting.
Yeah, excellent. Can I just ask you, just on your own experiences, it's great to see more women coming into this industry. And since we started the organization 7 years ago, when we had our first meetings, we were allowed to about 15% women. And I'd say we're getting close to kind of 35 to 40%, given, you know, and we check that each year because we do a survey each year. And it has grown, you know, pretty steadily, 5 to 10% a year since we started out. And I think, obviously, women are more, there's more comfortable, more confident to take their place at the table, which is great to see. Being two women who started up an organization, would you have, I mean, I'm sure there are still lots of women in organizations who struggle with what has tended to be a male-oriented world. Have you any, first of all, your experiences of that, and then maybe if you could think about, have you any advice for maybe young women who are listening to this, who are coming into a career in data for the first time and might be sitting in rooms with 20 guys and two women, you know? Maybe you could talk a little bit about your own experiences of that.
Well, I suppose probably to reflect what you're saying, Jorgen, like I'm in data since probably I started my career. So definitely, you know, you would have been the only woman in the room probably for the first 10 years. But again, you know, like Michelle, we're seeing a lot more women that we're working with, the partners in our companies that we're working with. We're seeing more women. I think it's great that it's opening up to, you know, to across the genders. I think for any, you know, women sitting at home or girls are sitting at home, they're thinking about getting into it. I really think for myself, it's been a great career. I think it offers some more work-life balance than possibly other careers. You know, there's times that you can work outside hours, or you can, you know, flex it to your own model of, you know, your work-life balance like that. And I'd really encourage people to get into it. I don't think that I've faced many barriers as a woman in data. I think it's been very welcoming, and I think it's a great career path.
I think some of the, I'll ask you now, Michelle, for your flick, but I think, Kiva, some of them are very self-imposed. We never have any problem when we're looking for blokes to talk, you know, be in our panels or present or whatever. But we sometimes, I find sometimes still, most women can tend to be, you know, somewhat reluctant to take that step forward. And I think I think it's great when we see it happen. Michelle, you the same?
Yeah, similar. Like, you know, I think when I started college, I did computer science as my degree. And I think when I started, there was like 90 people on the first day in it. And there was three women in the room. So, you know, the gender balance was tipped one way, definitely. And, you know, kind of as, you know, as I kind of went on in my career, I've seen, you know, that has really started to change. So as Caoimhe said, at times you were like the only woman in the room. That's not necessarily the case anymore. You know, we're seeing a lot more women in leadership roles in the organizations that we're working with.
That's so important in terms of particularly when you're trying to extract meaning from data as well, to have that perspective as well, that it's not just a bunch of men trying to derive meaning from data and getting it all wrong sometimes because of a skewed perspective. I think it's very important that we have inclusion across the board of this and diversity. Great. In terms of just for organizations that might be listening and thinking, well, this is an interesting approach, how would you typically engage with a client, and what would you say to a client is the best way to approach you? Asian model, do they come to you with a problem? Do you typically, is it just an exploratory chat? Do you have a process that you bring them through?
Yeah, so a lot of customers, you know, we typically start with an exploratory chat, you know, give them kind of a bit of an intro into the company and what we do, you know, and, you know, how we've helped our clients in the past. And then, you know, explore if there is like an opportunity to partner with some of them. You know, sometimes that is, you know, our customers come to us with a business problem and say, you know, how would we deal with this? Is there something kind of from an analytics or an EPM perspective that can help us with this? You know, other times, you know, it's about that strategy piece as we've spoken about. So we do quite a bit of work with that. So we've just finished delivering like for one of our customers, their 3-year strategy for analytics, you know, as to what that roadmap would be. So yeah, it really depends, you know, on the customer and their needs.
So I know you're growing your organization over the next while, which is great to see. So what is, if somebody was thinking about working for you guys, what's it like to work with you and your organization, and what do you like to see from your people to join you?
Well, I think one of the things that really drives us when we started up as well, we also had this idea, you know, we've worked with consultancy companies a long time, so we like to bring on experienced people. So what we consider to be the best in class consultants. So when you work with IE, you're working with other people who I think have a lot of experience. And I think that's a great way to work. You know, we often have, you know, really interest. Well, it depends how you know, what you consider interesting, but we have great challenging chats we have a daily call where we talk about the challenges that we meet, and you get interesting perspectives from other people who've been in the business a long time. You know, we also like to work with people, you know, we do have a good work-life balance as well. So we're just interested in people who get the work done and get the work done really well. So if you want to work at 10 o'clock at night, as long as you're in for when the customer needs you, that's fine with us as well. We just like to deliver successful projects, and that's how we really measure our own success. So I think that works a lot better today, not just for people, you know, not just even for women. Let's say a lot of people since COVID have kind of more movable schedules. So I think we like to work with people from that perspective.
Yeah, definitely flexibility is key to us, you know, that, you know, people aren't stuck at desks from 9 to 5 anymore, that they, you know, work on projects and have tasks and do them at a time that works for them.
Challenging to manage that, Michelle, sometimes? Is it?
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. You know, and it depends really on the person. You know, some people we find work first and they just can't. They prefer the 9 to 5 and that's their hours and that. And then for other people, it works great, you know, that they can go and collect their kids from school, or they can, you know, run down to do their like weekly shop or whatever, and then log in that night and do a bit of work. It can be a bit of a challenge, but as Caoimhe said, for us, it's kind of get the projects done. And, you know, you have generally with, you know, particularly when we get into development stages, they've tasks that have to be done by a date. And once they're around for client meetings, you know, it works well for us. And then the other side is just really people that like to be challenged. You know, we are a startup. So you don't come in to do one job, you know, but, you know, it's good. You get a lot of experience with us. You know, and like we're growing out our technology stack and investing in, you know, our people as well in that. So, you know, really making sure that they're trained up on it, and that as we kind of invest in those technology stacks, that they're also training up on them and getting to know them really well.
So yeah, we provide access to training, and you know, part of our, we have a once weekly meeting where we all try and focus on our upskilling and training. And I think that's really important in IT, because you know, you can get stale really quickly, and before you know it, you're just super focused on one vendor. So I think if, as Michelle says, you know, we're in the industry a long time, and so are our consultants. So it is a challenge, but I think it's an interesting challenge as well. And because we provide that access to you know, training and certification, you know, I think it is enjoyable for a lot of the people. It's probably not enjoyable when they have to sit it, but I think overall they come away, you know, better qualified.
Totally agree with you, which is why we do our offer training and certification to our member organizations. It's something that we're asked for all the time. It's crucial. And you're dealing with very intelligent people generally who need to be inspired, and they're curious and they want to be stimulated and challenged. And, you know, I think sometimes organizations hire very expensive, intelligent people and then give them very boring jobs and wonder why they leave after a year, you know. And I think that's so important. Ladies, it was fantastic talking to you. IE sounds like a really interesting organization. I wish you every success. It's fantastic to see an SME moving so quickly, growing so well, with a lovely approach as well that you have. So wish you every success, and look forward to seeing you at our National Analytics Summit in the Convention Centre in Dublin in November, on the 17th of November. We're just about to go out and tell everybody about it today, actually. So looking forward to that.
Thanks looking forward for your to time.
If anyone wants to know more about your organisation, what's your website? So, Caoimhe, if anybody wants to get in touch with your organization and learn more about intelligent enterprises, what's your website?
You can contact us on www.intelligent-enterprises.com.
Fantastic. Thank you, Caoimhe, and thank you, Michelle.
Thanks, Lorcan. Thanks for the time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to hear more from other data leaders, please subscribe below.